I'm really, really excited to be here. And have you ever like been in a situation and you have like I'm just going to talk plainly. I had a sermon in my head that I was going to come preach, and I think God's jacking the whole thing up, and I might just switch it. Because, well, first of all, let me get to a couple, I would say, housekeeping items that God put on my heart that I have to get out. Your pastor is amazing.
Amen.
Like, and I said this before, I'm going to say it again. Like, I'm not saying this so that, like, he gives me an extra offering or that he lets me go back there and, like, sell you a book or, like, want you to sign up for my ministry class. None of that. I'm here because one of my best friends, Matt Wandell, invited me to come. I'm not here to build my ministry. I'm not here to sell you anything. I don't need anything from you. I've been completely set free from myself. So now I'm just free to love you with no strings attached. Like, I stopped getting offended by people. Like, I used to think that you were the problem. And I got set free from me. And now that I'm free from me, I could just freely love you. It is impossible for you to offend me. Like, I really, really mean that. I stopped getting offended like 12 years ago. Like, I don't get offended anymore. Like, I really don't. Like, your Facebook posts don't offend me. When I get, you know, calls from people and this and that, like, well, you said that, like, that doesn't offend me anymore. I don't get mad anymore. I don't. Because when you get offended, when you live from a place of offense, it prohibits you to truly love people.
Amen.
Love keeps no account of a suffered wrong. Hello, wives and husbands. Love keeps no account of a suffered wrong. That changed my marriage. I stopped listening to sermons for my spouse when I really got that revelation. I started listening to sermons for myself. And God completely changed my life. And I want to say that about your pastor because, like, I do this. I'm an evangelist. I'm in my third year of seminary. I grew up, I was born and raised in a very, very spirit-filled home. My mom was a spiritual powerhouse. I'll never forget when I went on a plane and the stewardess looked at my mom and started crying because she said to my dad, I don't know what it is about that woman, but she convicts me. She convicts my spirit. Like, I was reading through Acts and Peter's shadow would heal people. Y'all know that story? Do you want to know why? Because your shadow will release what overshadows you. That's why his shadow would heal people. Not that I know of, my shadow hasn't healed anybody yet. But I know it's possible. I want to go after that. And I want to say this about your pastor and Miss Danielle. I didn't get a chance to meet you, but hello. You have a beautiful family. Homie in the red shirt looks like a freaking stud. I don't know you, but I'm just going to say it. You're gorgeous, and if I looked like you, I would have never got voted off American Idol. Just going to say it, okay? Beautiful daughter right here. Oh, my God, is that a Celsius? It is. Oh, my gosh. Both of us have them. Is that just in the green room for pastors, or is it, like, for everybody? Do you bring them home? And then who's this? Is this another son, or is this a homie? Friend? Best friend, like me and Matt? Do you guys cry together? Do you read the Word of God together? Do you encourage each other? Okay, not to make you uncomfortable. No, like, I want to highlight your pastors because, like, for real, I met him an hour ago. I spent zero time with him. I talked to y'all, the people in the first service, more than I talked to him. And, like, I said this in the first service, I'm an interviewer by nature. Like, I have a show, like, my background. I was a finalist on American Idol, lost to Fantasia. Thanks for voting for her instead of me, by the way. And then Simon Cowell was really, really good to me. Like, when I got voted off, I was in the back of his dressing room. He was smoking a cigarette, and he's like, you know, Matt, you just picked the wrong song, and sorry. But he was really good to me. Like, my first job was, like, on channel, like, 400 and something, and I would interview, like, people when they would come out. So it was like, and you're in this long press line, and it's Mario Lopez. It's, like, the top three, like, Access Hollywood, and that, and I'm at the end of the line, and the judges would only do three interviews. It would do, like, Mario Lopez, a couple other ones. And then Simon would take the judges and always give me the interview. So he was really, really good to me. And I got into entertainment, hosting TV shows. Matt and I have had, where'd he go? Did he leave? I was going to say, you scared me. Maybe my first service wasn't that good. You left. God, no. We played everywhere. We sang together. We wrote the song for a show that I hosted called Coming Home, where we brought home soldiers. Matt and I have been on TV together. But I interview people like by nature. Like, I love people. I love talking to people. And I just ask simple questions. Like, I ask people, why do you come here? Why do you come to this church? Unanimously, everybody said, Pastor Andy. Unanimously. That he preaches the word. And that he loves people. Here's what most of you don't get. And I'm going to say it for him. Because I know most people probably don't. When's the last time you invited him and his family to one of your house or your families? When's the last time you called and encouraged your pastor? I don't want anything from you, pastor. I don't need you to come to my grandma's funeral. I don't need you to feed my family. I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you and your family. He's still a dad. He's still a husband. She's still a wife. She's still a mom. They're still kids. Like, for real. Like, can I talk real? And not just like pray for your pastor, like the religious thing, say, oh, I'm praying for you, pastor. Like, I'm going to pray for your pastor right now as kind of like a bullet point of maybe how to pray. But can we all agree together? Why don't we just reach our hands towards our pastor, because that's what love would do. Amen. To him and his family. Amen. Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you that you put them here for your purpose. I thank you for their character and their integrity, and I thank you that they sacrifice their own needs for the love of other people. Now I'm going to pray like I'm one of you guys and he's my pastor. Father, I pray that you bless Pastor Andy, and you bless his kids, and you bless Danielle. Encourage and strengthen Danielle to be the wife of a lead pastor, but still has to take care of a house, still has to go through the same things that I go through as a mom, as a woman, as someone that's just trying to do better for my family and in life. I pray that you encourage her, you strengthen her, and that she feels your love. And God, use me to love her. If there's anything you would like me to get her, give her, call her, give her a word, encourage her or kids, I pray that you speak that to me right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for growing our church because of our leadership, and I thank you that we are the head and not the tail, and that we're getting better and not worse. I pray for their marriage, that you strengthen them, give them the passion and the love that they had even before they got married, and I thank you that they are strong and can lead many. Encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. How simple was that? Do that every day. Or when it crosses your mind. Here's why. I think this is fascinating. When the disciples rolled with Jesus, like Jesus was doing all these miracles and all these cool things, like raising people from the dead, healing sick people, blind people, deaf people. And the disciples never asked them, how do we do that? But they did ask him when they saw him sneak away and pray. They asked him, how do we do that? How do we pray? Because what happened in the dark place, in the secret, when he would sneak away and get with the Father, and when he would pray, people would see in the light. But the disciples got it. The disciples saw what happened in his prayer life. He must have been doing something in prayer that the disciples were like, dude, how do we do that? I don't know what that looks like. Y'all should have seen me in the car on the way over here. I would freak, y'all think I'm like that? Like, dude, this isn't an act. Like, I'm like this. In fact, if you would have saw me in the car, like, I'm holding back. One of the best things your pastor said to me before I got up here, he goes, dude, just let it loose. Be you. Don't hold back. He told me, don't hold back. Let me tell you something. Your kids crave supernatural power. If they don't see it in your life, they'll find it in a Harry Potter book. They'll find it in the Disney Channel. Oh, don't worry, they're just good witches. And now the Disney Channel is telling us how to feel. If we feel that way, then we can be that thing. Don't let your kids look for a hero outside of your home. Like, that's one thing I love my parents. I never had to look for a hero outside the home. Like, my mom was the greatest source of encouragement in my life, but I saw that woman walk in power. I watch her every morning. Like, y'all, I couldn't have a lot of kids have sleepovers because in the morning when we'd wake up, they'd be like, dude, what's that noise? Is someone wrestling a bear cat? I'm like, no, my mom's just praying in tongues. It's cool. Like, that's what I grew up in. But I saw when that woman showed up, the atmosphere changed. That was attractive to me. So now as a dad, I got four kids. We have a youth group, and it started in 2020 by default. It's all the kids that wouldn't go to church. But my son said, Dad, I got a couple buddies that have like Bible questions. Can they come over? I'm like, yeah, dude, bring them over. It was like in April when everyone was freaked out, and we were just like, no, we're just, you know, doing our thing. Sorry. Such a touchy subject. But I had two kids come over, and they asked me simple questions. How do you know God's real? Why do people die? Why do people get sick? You know, tell me the coolest miracle you've ever seen. Two turned to four, and then about 3 or 4 weeks in, there was about six of them, and one kid's like, can we bring our girlfriend? And the other kid's like, no, dude, this is boys only. So now every other Tuesday, we have a youth group, and Matt's been there one time. Matt, when you were there last a couple months ago, we had like, what, 40, 45 kids? We're up to 75 and 80 now. And here's why. And by the way, I have no support, and I'm going broke. So if you do want to support, let me know. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. I'm not playing church with these kids. Like, we are, thank you. That's right. You encourage me. Keep it up. Come on. Like, keep it up. I'm already encouraged, but you keep it up. I love it. But these kids crave supernatural power. And if you don't show them it, if you don't show them the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that actually lives in you, they're going to find it somewhere else. They're going to look at right here in their phones because they have so many opinions and they become confused and they lose their identity when what they don't know is their identity is in Christ. You don't pay such a high price for junk. Like, Jesus decided which lives mattered 2,000 years ago when he died for all. Right? Like, it says the greatest love you can show someone is to lay your life down for them. You wouldn't die for someone that wasn't worth it. Show me one person that Jesus didn't pay a price for, and that will give you an excuse to not love them, to not judge them anymore. So easy to judge people based off what they look like, what they say, the way they're living. By the way, Christian people, don't expect lost people to act saved. They won't. They just don't. Love them. My Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. And I just love to show the goodness of God. Right? And I'm seeing how a lot of days, because, you know, everybody says they're a Christian. And it's like Jesus wants, or people want Jesus as their Lord, but they don't want him as their Savior. It's kind of like, look, man, holiness is still in season. Doing the right thing is still a good thing to do. One of the biggest distaste I have, and it comes from Christians and people in church, is when they preach Jesus, walk like the devil, and call it grace. Like, that just... And I'll say this, and I'm actually going to preach today. I do have a sermon. God's now, he's, all right, that's enough, son. Go back. I don't know where I got off on that tangent, but I just felt like I need to release that. People crave the supernatural. A supernatural lifestyle, a life of miracles, should be the Christian norm. And if it's not, your kids will look for it somewhere else. And here's the sad part. There are other spirits out there. And those spirits do have a little bit of power, but they're limited. And they'll go down a path to where they think they're experiencing power until they really find a way that the only thing can help them out of the hellhole that they're in is a supernatural God that has no limits. Get them on that track early and show them that when Jesus is in the room, anything can happen. And with God, things, all things truly are possible. At some point in your life, you are going to need a supernatural miracle from a supernatural God. These shells are mortal. But the spirit inside of us is supernatural. It's immortal. This thing in me, hey, he who believes in me will never die. I'm never going to die. You can't kill me. You can't offend me. I'm going to live forever. When does eternal life start? Well, when you die and you get to heaven. No! Eternal life starts the second you invite Jesus into your life. I'm walking in eternal life. But here's the flip side. Life still happens. And I think we've been deceived, especially the younger generation, to where, oh, invite Jesus into your heart and into your life so you can have a better one. And it kind of becomes Jesus Incorporated. Like, Jesus ain't your homeboy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, I tried the Jesus thing. I invited him, but nothing really changed. So therefore, he must not be real. And it's like, when you invite him into your life and he becomes Lord of your life, you just live from a different perspective. And from living with that different perspective, then you start to see things change. For me, growing up under that type of mom that I had, saw unbelievable things. I would watch my mom pray for people and they would get healed. It became so attractive to me. When I was 5 years old, I was diagnosed with a rare disease. I had alligator skin. It was called, like, no joke. I know it sounds like a motorcycle, but it was called Kawasaki's disease. And they thought, I know, people still laugh. It's okay. No, like, for real. And they thought, like, the Vietnamese brought it over from after the Vietnam War. And, like, my mom, like, this true story. Like, they think I was playing on the floor when my mom was getting her nails done or something, and something bit me. And there was, like, a minority of people that had this disease. Well, you have alligator skin, all your fingernails and toenails fall off. You have 104-degree fever. All my eyes were bloodshot. It was terrible, terrible. I have little memories because I was only five, but I do remember all the doctors looking at me, not knowing what they're able to do with me, and I remember my mom saying, it doesn't matter what you say, my Jesus is going to heal him. I remember that. And I remember the doctor saying he'll never get his heart rate above 100 because if he does, he'll have a heart attack and he'll die. Your son will never play sports. He'll never this, he'll never that, he'll never that. And she said, okay, I honor you. Please do whatever you can to get my son better, but Jesus is going to heal him. Amen. So 2 weeks later when I got healed, and then you fast forward and I end up playing football and winning a Rose Bowl and, you know, announcing for NFL teams and stuff, like, you know, hey, they were wrong. Jesus was right. Yay, God. Now it's going to get real because here's where life happens. My mom passed away in 2004 from the very thing I watched God heal her from. And that changed my life, and it wasn't for the better. Because when mom died, all the stuff, the belief, the supernatural lifestyle, the power, the authority kind of got buried with her. Like, I'm the youngest of five. Like, I was the one that shaved her head. I was the one that changed her bandages. Like, it was, and she was the greatest source of encouragement in my life. And when we buried her, I didn't get mad at God. I didn't backslide. I didn't, you know, turn to the bar and the bottle. I didn't, you know, cheat on my wife or do anything bad. Like, I said in the first service, I was kind of like in a Christian coma. Like, I went to church. I was a good man. I tithed. But I didn't walk in any power and authority. And I got alone with God. When my second son was born, he was born with a rare genetic disease called cystic fibrosis. It's chronic lung and pancreas disease. And I was in a position where just going to church and checking a box wasn't going to work to heal my son. And you'll hear things from family members and from Christians. Well, this is just God's sovereign will. And ultimately, you know, if God chooses to heal him, he's using this so that you and your wife, Terry, can blah, 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 blah. And, you know, when people pass away, well, sometimes, you know, God just needed another angel for the choir. God needed another flower for his garden. Like, we say these Christian things to help ourselves feel better, but Jesus never said that stuff. Like, he just didn't. We do. But he didn't. So on April 10th, 2010, I got alone with God in the room with my sick kid. He was 2 years old because he was born in 08. And I was like, where are you? Where's all the stuff that I was experiencing at a young age? Why did you say, can we get real with God and ask him like real questions? Why did you say, by your stripes we are healed, only to have mom die? Why did you say that you died for our sin and our sickness only to have a sick son, where the doctor said there's going to be on a feeding tube and he's only in the 5 percentile and I got to do 3 hours of breathing treatments a day and he's got to take enzymes before every meal and my wife is depressed and hasn't left the house in 9 months. I went from American Idol, Simon Cowell, hosting TV shows, top of the world, about to sign a contract for $785,000 to film for 4 months with Discovery Channel. And I couldn't do it because my wife was in fetal position taking care of a sick kid, just trying to make it. Which is why it's so important to pray for your pastors, because those are the things that you guys don't see that they go through. Maybe it's not that extreme, but like, dude, they're going through stuff. They need people that encourage them and lift them up. And it could be as simple as of, hey, I'm praying for you. This is what God spoke to me. I'm just saying, like, people are hurting and you never know what your leaders are going through. So overly bless your leaders. Because here's a scary thought. What would this church in this town look like without the Lee family? Probably not very good. And I've only been here an hour and a half, and I got this revelation. Y'all been here 20, 30 years, and you're still telling them what's wrong with everything. What are we doing? I said in the first service, well, I don't like that church very much. It wasn't very loving. It should have been. You were there. Let's lock arms. And I don't know why God keeps bringing me down this path. I promise you, Matt Wandell and I have not talked about you and your family at all. I'm just, dude, something. And here's why. Because I drove on the way up here, and this church is doing really well, and it could really, really explode. And it's because, not the church building, it's because of the church people. Like, you guys can really, really change this entire atmosphere. This should be a hospital where people come to get better. Because you have pastors and a family that allow that stuff to happen. All right, preach, Matt. Go back to the story. I don't know why it keeps going that, but at some point in your life, you are going to need a supernatural miracle from God. And for me, I was raised in, you know, and I got real with God. Why is all this stuff happening? And I had to walk away from Discovery Channel to take care of my depressed wife, because I could have been a provider and said, well, I'm a man and I need to take care of my family. And if I would have done that and left, things probably would not have ended well for us, because my wife didn't need a provider. Ooh, men, listen to this. You know when God hits you and he like kicks you? You know, this is for the men. At that point in my life, my wife didn't need a provider. My wife needed a comforter. She didn't need me to make 70 grand or 700 grand. She needed me to take a job making $40,000 a year working for a boss that treated me like absolute garbage, and I had to drive an hour and a half there and back, but it gave me time with my wife, because she needed a companion, not a provider. I feel that with like 2 or 3 men in here. Your wife needs you before she needs what you do. So it was very, very tough for me. Walked away from entertainment and got in the business of selling car internet leads to general managers of car dealerships. And it sucked. It was the worst. But I got to be there for my family. And I started asking them questions. Why? And I'm finally going to preach the word, because when I read this story in Mark 5, chapter 21, it leapt off the page, because this was me. It's about the synagogue leader named Jairus. It says, when Jesus crossed over in the boat to the other side, a very large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and upon seeing him, he fell at his feet And he pleaded with him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Jesus said yes, went off with him, and a large crowd was following him. And Luke 8:42 says it almost crushed him. Jairus was the big dog. He was the religious leader. He had money, he had respect, he had power, and he had religion. But he heard about this guy named Jesus who healed people and performed miracles, and he saw that his religion and his tradition didn't give him any power because he needed something from a supernatural God. So he laid himself down, implored at his feet, and it reminded me of the time I'm in my office raising up my son, imploring, Jesus, I know you can. Why won't you? And isn't it funny how every time someone asked Jesus for a healing, he never said no. He never said the stuff that we say. And I asked him, well, why'd you say no? Why aren't I experiencing it? And here's what he told me, and it changed my life. He said, you're basing my character and nature off of what didn't happen with your mom instead of what did happen through my son. Amen. I love my mom deeply, but my mom's life can't set me free. Amen. The power in my mom's life can't heal my son, but the power in his life can. Amen. And I repented, and I said, I'm sorry. And I said, I'm going to do things different from now on. I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm not going to lower the gospel to make myself feel better about my circumstances. I'm going to continue to raise my circumstances until it matches the word of God. And I won't stop fighting until I get Jesus' results. I don't want Matt Rogers' results. I don't want my mom's results. I want Jesus' results. He's undefeated. Amen. All things are possible to those that believe. So we should probably believe a little bit different. What we believe probably matters. The Bible says the power of life and death is in whose tongue?
Our
tongue. The Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge, not the will of God. So why don't we get the knowledge so we can stop the destruction? These are just thoughts that go through my head. Whew, I'm preaching good, Pastor. Where's she at? Come on. So when I think about Jairus, if you're taking notes, a key point is that Jairus laid down his pride and saw his need for a savior. Something he needed or his future was going to die. It was something greater than him. And some of us are like Jairus and we need a breakthrough. Some of us have been praying for the child that hasn't come home and we stop believing. And I'm here to wake up. That miracle that's sleeping, it's not dead. Well, my family is just seven generations of alcoholics, and my dad was an alcoholic, and his dad was an alcoholic, so I'm just an alcoholic. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's time to wake up. Dead miracles, dead dreams, because I'm going to walk you through the walk of Jairus and the walk that I had in my life. And I want you to know, I said this before, most of us in here are believers. The devil can't steal your soul or your salvation. We all know that. Amen. We're in the palm of his hand. Nothing can snatch us out. But what the devil can do, if we're humble enough to admit it, is he can't steal our soul, but he can steal our faith. Amen. Our faith can start going down. Like the guy that said, Jesus, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Like, I've been there. And time was not on my side with my son, and time was not on Jairus' side either. If you keep reading, this is crazy. So he's walking with Jesus. Jesus said yes. He's surrounded by a ton of people. And it says, a woman that had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and she touched his cloak, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will be made well. Sometimes you don't feel like God's touching you. You need to get a little guts and a little faith and go out and touch him. Some of us need to touch the hem of his garment. She heard about Jesus. Some of us have heard about Jesus our entire life. And we sing about him, we praise to him, we talk about it, but deep down inside, we're just not sure if he will. And I'm here to challenge you, church. That's a bad place to be. If you worship a God and we sing, I've seen cancer disappear, I've seen the mental health restored, don't you tell me he can't do it. Well, I'm not really sure if he can do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Well, I wonder if he will do it. A double-minded person is unsteady in all their ways. And when all the bad stuff starts coming at you, you're going to chalk it up to the sovereignty of God. And it ain't. What we do matters. What we believe matters. Your faith changes things. I'm going to prove it to you in verse 29. Immediately, the flow of blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had left him, turned around and said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "What are you talking about? There's a ton of people here. Everyone's touching." He's like, "Nah, dude, something different happened. She touched me." He looked around, saw the woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down to him and told him the whole truth. What happened? Jesus is rolling with his 12. A ton of people are following him. And there's a woman that doesn't even know Jesus. She just heard about him. And she came up in her own mind, not the sovereign choice, sovereign will of God. She made a decision that if I can just go touch him, that guy that I heard about, I'm going to be made well. She was living in Capernaum, the richest city in the whole spot. Like if it was modern day, like she probably drove a Rolls Royce and a Bentley. And she spent it all at the hands of doctors and they couldn't help her. Hear my heart. I love doctors. I honor doctors. And if there's any doctors in this room, thank you for what you do. Because you do everything to help us get better. And I love our doctors. But doctors are practicing science. And there's limits. Don't put a limit on a limitless God. I got two golf claps for that one, sister. Here we go. Don't put limits on a limitless God. I get two Christians. Give me one of these. All right. It's all right. I told y'all you can't offend me. I'm here for you. But she said, if I can touch him, I'll be made well. Isn't it crazy how there's a ton of people around that are just kind of casually brushing up against Jesus? The Bible says the Spirit of God was present to heal all, but only one got it. Why? She did it different. Y'all know the story about the friends that broke open the roof and lowered the paralytic in? Read the Bible. It says the power to heal was available for all, but only one got healed. Why? Well, it was God's sovereign will. No, it wasn't. The power was present to heal all, but only one got it. The woman who busted through everybody and grabbed his coat, and the friends that had the audacity to rip open someone's roof and interrupt his speech. That's unbelievable to me. With a ton of religious people standing around watching him. Some good, some bad. But only one got it when it was present for all of them. Why? They thought different. They believed different. They became so desperate that they had to have it. Why when we travel overseas, go to like Cambodia and Mexico and these places, and you see unbelievable healings and miracles because they're so desperate. They don't have the resources we have. And I use all the resources, everything, but there comes a point in your life where you need a supernatural touch from God and nothing else will do. And it's available to heal all. Everyone has access to it. And she got healed. The other thing I love is he looks at her, he says, "Daughter, Your faith made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. We take that little verse and we come to things and we pray for Brother John, who's been battling back pain for 10 years. And we pray and we believe, and he walks away and he's still got his cane and his crutches. And we say, well, Brother John just needs to get a little bit more faith. If he had a little bit more faith, he'd probably get healed. That's not what that's saying. Sometimes it's your faith that makes you well. Sometimes it's your friend's faith to rip open a ceiling and get you in. And sometimes, like, how much faith did Lazarus have? He was dead. He don't have no faith. But Jesus' faith brought him forward. The common denominator is faith. You are never called to fight the devil. Some of us have been saying, Pastor, just pray for me. The devil's attacking me again. He's attacking my family. What are you talking about? He's a cut off, withering branch to nothing. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You don't need to fight the devil. The only fight we were called to fight is the good fight of faith. One fight, the good fight of faith. So when cystic fibrosis comes across my family, and I'm still dealing with the death of my mom, I got one fight, it's faith. Father, don't let me go by what I see. Don't let me go by the doctor's report. Don't let me go by how I feel. I believe you. I reach out and I touch you. I know it's your will for my son to get better. And I watched him get worse and worse and worse. And my faith was almost crushed. But here's what Jesus says. This is where it gets good. You guys ready for it to get better? Come on, baby. She gets healed of her affliction. While he was still speaking, so now he's talking to the daughter, who touched me? She's crying. She says, I touched you. And they're talking. As he's speaking to the woman who got healed, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? I think about this a lot. How frustrated Jairus was, because he's got power, he's got money, he's got authority, he's got the position. He goes to Jesus, Jesus says yes. Now he's got to deal with all these people gathering around him. It was probably a slow walk. And on top of that, he heals an unclean woman that doesn't even know who he is. Like, do you have any idea how those synagogue leaders treated women? Not good. So that's the one thing I love about Jesus, is he was the first minister to let women preach and let women in his thing, in his ministry. Jesus empowered women a long time ago. I love that, because some of the greatest influential leaders in my life were females. Maybe that's why I dress so good. I don't know. Just kidding. Just kidding. But it's crazy to me when I think about how frustrated Jairus must have been, that he's walking slow, this other woman gets healed, and now on top of that, he took so long that his homies came from his house and said, sorry, your daughter's dead. How many of us have heard from family members, well, God's just allowing this for a reason. Ultimately, he'll get the glory when we get to heaven. Let me tell you something. You can't appropriate today what you postpone for tomorrow. You don't need to get healed when you get to heaven. You're just going to be healed. Amen. We need healing here on earth. That's right. And it's not just a man-centered, man-focused gospel, right? But when you look at sickness to the body is the same thing as sin is to the soul. Right. Why do we believe that Jesus will save anyone's soul, but sometimes won't heal people? Why? It's because of what we see. The eye is the lamp to the soul and to the body. If the eye is single, the whole body is covered with light. What I saw with my mom and the very real breathing treatments I did and a wife that I was in love with is depressed. Like, I was seeing some bad stuff. And when you're seeing very real life, you have to stand on the word. That's why your Bible is so important. And most people don't even know how to read it and how to open it. When everything, all of our promises are in here. Amen. Which is why brainwashing yourself on the Word of God changes your life, changes your perspective. Things going to happen. Life is still going to happen. The same wind falls on the believer and the unbeliever. But it's not the blowing of the wind. It's the set of the sail. Where's my sail set? Am I going to be like everybody else? Or am I going to stand on the Word of God? Jairus is in a situation that's very real. His daughter's dead. All these people made him slow. And he healed this woman. And my daughter just died. How cool is this? This is why the Word of God is so important. Because here's what Jesus said. They came to the house of the synagogue official and saw, while he was still speaking, they came to the synagogue official and they said, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Verse 36, but Jesus, somebody say, but Jesus. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to Jairus, do not be afraid, only believe. She will be made well. He gave him two commands and a promise. Don't be afraid. Only believe. She will be made well. I'm here. I came here today. My job to come here today was to be a fresh voice of faith, to breathe life back into your dead dreams and your dead miracle. And I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid. Only believe. You will be made well. Your situation will change. If you don't grow tired, you don't grow weary, you don't go by what the doctors say, by what family members say, by what maybe even some people in the congregation may say. Stand on the Word of God. What does Jesus say? But Jesus says, don't be afraid, only believe, she will be made well. I had a family member give me a note after my son's diagnosis, and my wife and I, we were broken. 29 years old. Had life by the tail, and then life happens. And now all of a sudden, I'm the dad with a sick and dying kid. How does that happen? And I'm like, I'm good. I never cheated on my wife. I don't look at porn. I don't get drunk. I'm not out doing bad stuff. I go to church. I tithe. This is really what I said. How is this happening to me? Jairus watches this other lady get healed. There was a drug that came out in 2012 for cystic fibrosis that healed a ton of kids, but my kid didn't have the genetic makeup. So he got worse when I watched other people's kids get better. And I follow them on Facebook. I see what they do on Saturday nights. How are you healing their kid and not mine? I became just like a Pharisee. I became religious. I became bitter. And when you get to that bitter place, it's impossible for you to love people and believe the best. If you're mad at people in this church, how are you going to love them? How are you going to change this place? And how is God going to flow through your life when there's a bitter block right here? He won't. But the good news is you can change your mind anytime you want. And that's what I did. I changed my mind because instead of judging those other people and looking at what God wasn't doing for me and what's doing for them, I started to talk like the woman with the issue of blood, and I said, if you could do it for them, you can do it for me. Amen. And it has nothing to do with how good I am and how much I've tithed and that I've never looked at porn. Look at, you could do all that bad stuff and God will still heal you. Why? Because love keeps no account of a suffered wrong. And when you realize, there we go, one golf clap, baby, in the back. Love keeps no account of a suffered wrong. My Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repent. Amen. Stop whipping your kids about all the bad stuff they're doing and start loving them into the kingdom. Amen. Show them how good God is so that they'll want what you have. But if you're hard and you're always disciplined, I'm not saying let them get away with what they want. I'm not saying that. I'm saying love them to where it becomes so attractive that they want the Jesus that you're preaching about. Amen. Let's go. Can y'all tell I'm a football guy? This part is fascinating to me. Verse 37. And Jesus allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John. He had 12, but 9 of them didn't make the cut. I want to make sure I'm in the believing crowd to make the cut. Because 9 of them that he loved didn't make it. For whatever reason, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us why they didn't make the cut. We could only assume. But the bottom line is, they didn't make the cut. And if they would have been believing like Peter, James, and John, they would have made the cut. I had a family member I told you about. I can't remember. I remember starting the story. I don't remember if I finished it because I have mad ADD. Spoiler alert. Ex-football player, I graduated with a 1.96 GPA. I am not the smartest person in here. But I had a family member give me a note, and he said, my son's name is Mason. He said, Mason will ultimately get his healing when he gets to heaven. And I just cried. I cried not because I was scared or it deterred me. I cried because I had people surrounding me that actually believed that. That ain't gonna get my wife out of her depression. That ain't gonna motivate me. So what's my motivation? To die? Okay, well, let's hurry up and just get it on and just let me die so I can, or let my son die so he can get his healing. Like, what is that? Why do we say these things? Jesus never said those things. It just trips me out. So my wife and I had to make a decision together that we're not going to allow that to get in here. Amen. We're not going to allow what people don't see determine what we do see. Amen. We're not going to let what other people say trump what he says. He said, don't be afraid, only believe, she'll be made well. Other people said, don't waste your time, don't bug them, she's dead. He says, you and you can go, y'all need to chill, let's go. But you can't come. And my wife and I got around people that we said, hey, we're believing that God's going to do a supernatural miracle in our life. Because that's what the Bible said. It's not our own theology that we're making up, and it's not just because we want a better life. It's just because of what God said. So if you're not going to believe with us, keep it to yourself. I don't need you to send me a ton of scriptures backed up on why you think God might not heal and use Job and use Paul's thorn and use all this other stuff when I got Jesus telling me something different. Jesus. Well, what about Job? What about Jesus? What about Paul? What about Jesus? What about Sally, who we prayed for 20 years and she still died from MS? What about Jesus? What about your mom that passed away from cancer? What about Jesus? What about your son that just gave 6 breathing treatments to today? What about Jesus? My eyes are focused on him. Isn't it crazy when the storm was going on and Peter looked at Jesus? He's walking on water. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He sinks. Why? Because Jesus is the only person that has seen the Father. He says, ta-da, I am the will of God. I only do what I see my Father do, say what I hear my Father say, and if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That's the guy I'm following. Love you. Thank you for the note. Sorry, probably not going to attend your church. Just believe with us from a distance. But I'm going this way to get healed, and y'all can't come. Let's roll. And that's what we did. And we could bring the worship band up right now. I'm going to close it out. Fascinating story. He allowed no one to come with him except Peter, James, and John. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and there was a commotion. People were loudly weeping and wailing. And he entered and he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but asleep. I ain't going to lie. I see a dead person at that time. I'm weeping and wailing too. I read the story now and be like, yeah, I'm going to be Peter, James, and John. I'm going to walk in. I'm probably going to get kicked out. I've seen a lot of people die, and it freaking sucks, and it hurts, and we have questions, and we wonder why. Like, we've all said it. Well, I'm going to have a lot of questions when I get there. We've all said that. It's natural. Out there, outside these walls, they'll tell you, don't get your hopes up. This will tell you, I better get my hopes sky high. Amen. Outside there, they'll tell you, well, you got to see it to believe it. This will tell you, you need to believe it so you can see it. Amen. When Jesus looks at the little girl, he doesn't see death. He's Lord over it. When he looks at your life, he doesn't see that you've been battling it for 20 years. He only sees the end result. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire, those dudes had integrity. Jesus never saw, oh, I hope they don't get burned. Throw them in the fire. Give them a diagnosis. Whatever. I'm Lord over it. You ain't going to get burned. Jesus doesn't see what we see, which is why we have to put on the mind of Christ. Whew. I feel some things changing. They began laughing at him, and he told them to make room. In Matthew 9:24 in the New King James Version, glory to God for the Pentecostals in here, New King James, he says, make room. Some of us need to make a little room for the impossible. We've been so stuck in the way things have been, the traditions, the way that we like it, the way that Jesus needs to serve us. And now he's saying, make some room. Let me do something different. I want something different. I want God to do something different. Isn't it crazy? Out of all the miracles, Jesus never did one the same. Why? Because he was led by the Spirit, and the Spirit's always doing something different. He's the creator. Look at how different all of us look. But here's the best part. Come here, sister. You look good today. Yeah, you. I like you. I like you. Come here. Come over here. What's your name?
Sally.
God bless you, Sally. Look at Miss Sally. Look at how different Sally and I look on the outside. But the one thing, the game changer that makes me and Sally look exactly the same is what's inside of us. When Jesus looks at me and Sally, he sees the same thing. I love you, Miss Sally. You smell good. That's a good perfume. Thank you for letting me illustrate you. Jesus doesn't see what we see. We see death. We cry. We see the obstacle. 13 years ago, I don't look at obstacles the same anymore. Now I see opportunity. When other Christians see obstacles, I see opportunity. When people are dying in the hospital, they ain't calling, I ain't going to say a denomination, but they ain't calling other pastors. They're calling believers. He went to Jesus. He was the highest religious leader in the land, and he didn't go to any of them. He went to Jesus. Jesus is the great game changer. He kicked them all out, and he says, taking child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately she was healed, and they were completely astounded. Make room. Watch what God does in your life, regardless of how long you've been praying for that thing to change. Believe today it's going to be different. Make room for God to move. Pastor said we could, so I'm going to pray for people. Because that thing, whatever it is, you can think about it right now. For some of you, it's physical pain in your body. It's a diagnosis. Some of you, it's your marriage. Some of you, it's your mental health. In fact, I would dare to guess a lot of you, us, I shouldn't say you, a lot of us, is our mental health. We've been depressed for so long. Today, it can change. Let me rephrase that. Today, it will change. Because we believe God can, we're just not sure if he will. What do we believe? So whatever that thing is, I like to say it this way, it's either in the tomb or it's in the womb. If it's in the tomb, it's a place of death. You've already written your eulogy. You're making plans. It's dark. It's cold. It's dead. But if it's in the womb, it's also dark. But you're about to give birth to something in the light. Is that thing inside of you in the tomb or in the womb? It's up to you. It's God's will that no man should perish. That ain't just spiritually, my friends. We get it all. Today is the day of salvation. If you study the root word of salvation, it's soteria, which means forgiven of sins, healed physically, delivered from your sins, and kept safe and sound. We get it all. Why don't we preach that all the time? Because it hasn't been our experience. And we are afraid to talk about it because what if I pray for Sally and she walks away the same and she's not healed? What if we pray for Sally and she walks away different and she is healed? I stopped watching the History Channel in my mind a long time ago, and now I turn my antenna to the All Things Are Possible network. All things are possible. So with that, before I turn it back over to your pastor, let's just pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me say a prayer over you, and then I'm going to ask a couple questions, and let's get to it. Because I didn't drive here 4 hours, left my house last night at midnight, slept in a hotel in Clarksville, Indiana last night from 3 o'clock to 7 this morning. I didn't come here just to preach a good sermon so you can smile and say, Pastor Andy, I really like him. Maybe he'll come back one day. I came here to bring heaven and release what God put inside of me. Shame on me for not coming here and giving you my best and what's on my heart. I believe that your situation will change, and I want to get to it. So with that being said, Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit moves in this place. I thank you for Pastor Andy and Danielle, that they have allowed this to be a safe place for people to come and get better, and that they're not afraid to take risks, and that they're not afraid what other people say. They just believe you. I thank you that this church feels like a home church. You feel at home when you walk in this place. That's because your Spirit is here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you move all throughout this place right now and touch anybody that needs a mental healing, a physical healing, or a spiritual healing. I pray for the parents that have been praying for their kids to turn their heart back to you. Don't let them grow weary. Let them stand and push even harder. And let your Spirit speak louder than what they're experiencing.